Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you, and we invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of Central Church of Christ located in Smyrna, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. Today's words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. We kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing to find yourselves a quiet corner and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Sister Danielle, for such a warm welcome. Certainly, this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing in it. Certainly, it's a delight to have to be in great company with those of like faith who each morning find themselves in a place where they can be enriched and be encouraged by God's word. This morning, we want to, for a moment or so, examine a very familiar passage of scripture that we, through the years, perhaps without with the exception of John 3:16, this is perhaps the first verse that we learn in Bible class, and it has to do with communicating with God. That is the Lord's Prayer, or some call it the model prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. We're going to read this passage, and we're going to make some observation of it and make some application to our lives, give us a greater insight by way of encouragement when we read this passage going forward. We find that this is an occasion where those who was following Jesus evidently had an efficiency in prayer, or they had been watching Jesus pray, and their observing him caused them to feel inadequate in their prayer. So they asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. And so the Lord starts about verse 6 and goes to elaborate on actually verse 5. He tells them how not to be when you pray and how private prayer is and who you're to direct the prayer to. And so when we pick up in verse 7, he said, but when you pray, use not vain repetition, tessions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But ye, therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. So we're going to talk about a matter of relationship, a pattern in relationship to God, our Father, as we are his children. When we understand this prayer, we perhaps will go away with greater appreciation for it. Verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive other debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When we examine each phrase, he says, our Father. Comes to mind when we think about Father as a parent, as our daddy, as someone to look up to. And so in relationship to Father, we must see ourselves as children or as a child. And so when a child pleads to the Father for assistance and help, they realize the Father's heart is tender towards their request if they ask in a certain way, in the spirit of humility. But that relationship is there. So when we do pray, Heavenly Father, how will we start our prayer off when we're directing it to God? We ought to do it with the mindset of a child. In Matthew chapter 18, the issue was, who will be greatest in the kingdom? And the Lord Jesus used children and said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A child is innocent. Child is vulnerable. Child is teachable. They can be formed. And so we are to approach God as a child, as one of his children. Not in a childish manner, but as a child of innocence and humility and thanksgiving. But then praise it, hallowed be thy name. This is an attitude we are to have towards who we are praying to. When we speak to our physical parents, Father is yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Dad, or whatever. But we approach him with respect. We don't take him for granted. Although we have a close relationship with him, We can say, look, Daddy, I love you. However we approach your Father coming up, say, hallowed be thy name. Reference his name. When Daddy's name is mentioned in the house with his kids coming up, everybody stop what they're doing, or Daddy's coming, you got the house right, you got things straight, you change your action and disposition. Hallowed be thy name. Showing that we are to see his name as sacred, as holy. So we are worshipers of our Father. So we are to see ourselves as children. We are to see ourselves as worshipers. But then it says, thy kingdom come. In a kingdom, there's a king, there's territory, there's citizens. In his kingdom, there's glory and his power. So part of a kingdom, we are citizens or subjects to the king. You know, in John 13, Jesus, as a king, knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. This is uncharacteristic of any king. Kings don't wash feet. Rather, have their feet washed. But we are to be subjects to the king. We serve at the pleasure of the king. We are here in his kingdom because of he's king. And so this is that state of honor and position. Thy kingdom, it belongs to him. He's the king. So we are citizens of that kingdom. So when we are praying, our Father, let's see ourselves as children. Let's see ourselves as worshipers. Let's see ourselves as citizens. But then it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. Whatever your will is, that's what I will do. So now we see ourselves as servants, servants of the Most High, servants of the King, servants of the Father. Children serve their Father. They preserve their Father's name because the Father's provided for them and gave them a place to live. But then it said, give us this day our daily bread. We find then that daily bread means that we can only eat one meal a day or provide for one meal a day. God in Israel, he fed them day by day. Some didn't trust God, so they're going to hold some back through the night, some manna. But wormwood took it or returned to wormwood by the next morning because God wanted them to trust him to provide for you on a daily basis. So when we come to dependence, when we say, give us this day, we're asking God for daily provision. So now we're dependent upon him. That means we must trust him. So we are dependent. So not only are we children, worshipers, citizens, servants, but we're dependents. And all of this we need to realize when we are praying to the Father. But also it said, forgive us our debts. Well, I mean, yeah, we owe him something. Forgive us our debt. We are sinners in debt and need of forgiveness. And, well, we ask, give me more time. We ask our Father, give me another chance. Our physical Father, we ask for another opportunity to prove ourselves loyal to the family. Forgive us our debts. Paul was a debtor to the Roman church and to the Gentiles. He said, I'm a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. He owed them the gospel to be preached to them. And so forgive us our debts, because we're sinners in debt. But then it said, lead us not into temptation. Well, if we be led by him and we desire to be led by him, we must be willing to follow him. And so we are followers. We are sinners in debt. We are dependents. We are servants. We are citizens. We are worshipers. We are children. But then it says, deliver us from evil. Well, if we want deliverance, we must be willing to be set upon. No pray to the Father when you don't plan on repenting or changing your lifestyle. And so by way of encouragement, a matter of relationship, a pattern to be mimicked, when we pray to our Father, let's approach him as children, as worshipers, as citizens, as servants, as dependents, as sinners in debt, as followers, as saints that has been set upon. Let it not be a form of godliness. Let us live a true life of godliness and serving our Father. God. May God bless you and may it keep you as we pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for all that you are, all that you ever have done and shall do for us. We come to you as children, worshipers, citizens, servants, dependents, sinners in debt, followers, and saints that have been set upon. We pray that you continue to be who you are towards us and give us the daily nourishment, encouragement we need to make it through this day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who made this all possible as you died for us and died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We pray for the spirit that you've given us through him to help us through our daily tasks and our daily life. We thank you for all the preachers and ministers and members of the body of Christ who encouraged us in telecast programs such as this to give us something to hang our hat on, keep us strong during the middle until we meet on that first day to be enriched by your preaching and the fellowship and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We just pray for those who are struggling, the abnormalities, and those who just didn't really pray because they didn't know how to pray or the motive for prayer. And I hope that this lesson we gave this morning will encourage us to see, show us how significant it is and how what posture we are to possess when we are praying to the Father. God, to keep us and all those on this call this day, in your Son Christ's name, amen.